And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a while, topping the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now, here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get without the sir, cause I'm chilling in the background.
Welcome in to another episode of the podcast, Theanos. I am Jordan Hall, and I'm joined, as always, by Eric Wayne. Eric, the next time we record, there will be actual baseball that's been played.
It'll definitely count. Remains to be seen whether it's actual baseball or if it's like humiliating Tigers-flavored baseball this year. Huh?
And the problem is we start with the Pirates and the Royals, so it's not exactly like we're going to be able to look at the other team and think, you know what, that's good baseball. It could be some ugly nine innings over the
Pirates
first.
Did a big sell-off, right?
Yeah, and the Royals were one of the worst teams in baseball and lost Hosmer and Lorenzo Cain. So, you know what, maybe we start the year off on a hot streak, and then you never walk away from a heater.
Nothing like false hope.
And you know what else is exciting? That the season starts this week, so it means that this is our annual Hot Takes season preview episode.
Ooh,
so much fire.
Yeah, I've been rubbing two sticks together, you know, creating my bow drill. Maybe a fire plane or whatever they call it.
I think we learned this spring that it's you rub two rocks together, and that's actually the play.
Thanks to Victor Alcantara.
Alcantara. Yeah.
It's exciting.
So, big day. The opening day is always big in the D. I actually have to ask you this because I feel like you're a little more plugged into the Comerica scene than I am, being, you know, 9 million miles away from the Detroit area. Why do we do it so big in the D as an opening
because
day?
Because it's, why do butterflies spring from a cocoon? Because it's the completion of a seasonal metamorphosis.
Yes, but that's the case everywhere, not just in Detroit, and we're one of the ones that do it up the biggest.
Well, it's cold in Detroit, so you need those, like, good markers of springtime.
That's true.
You know, you're taking off your winter clothes, you know. You might see a girl in a tank top again. Just the little joys in life, you know.
Speaking of little joys, shawarma nachos back in the house. Mm. Perfect way to warm up on a cool April afternoon. Now, I have to ask you, before we get to the open leadoff question, this is a different question. Do you have a favorite April in the D memory? Because that's a thing that we do, apparently.
April, are you talking about the songs?
Yes.
Like, what were the bros? Like
The Good Luck Joes.
The Good Luck Joes.
How do I know that? I need to know so many more things in life before I know that. And that
occupies your brain space. Yeah. That to me was the quintessential April in the D. I wrote a pretty extensive April in the D song recap. But this was back when, it was really April in the D and the Wings and the Pistons were actually not trash and spray. Oh, so much excitement. Now it's kind of like, meh.
There are three teams playing, but between the three of them, they equal the success of maybe one actual team.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. So in the journey to opening day, I feel like we've lived through quite a lot. Five episodes for us. This is our sixth of the season. Countless best shape of their lives cliches. Sure. We learned the name Nico Goodrum. We listened to Lynn complain on Twitter about the lack of recycling options at his Lakeland condo. We fell in love with Nico Goodrum. And by we, I mean at least I don't know. You seem to like him too.
It's fine.
And of course, we watched Victor work a rock into a shiv in the bullpen. And now we've reached the point where our boy Nico has made the club. I kind of feel like we have a little bit to do with that. Do you not feel a little bit of responsibility for that? And it makes me feel good.
I feel like you're responsible. You've been championing for Nico for several weeks now, and Nico, to his credit, has performed well. You know, he's been doing some top shelf work.
Yeah, I feel like we gave him the confidence he needed to believe, you know what, maybe I can make this club. There's a podcast out there that believes in us, and they have tens of listeners. So I think he can be as good as Romine, but I got to ask you, do you think, you know, more importantly, do you think he can be as lovable as Andrew Romine was?
Sure. Yeah. Why wouldn't he be? Maybe this is a peculiar observation, but Nico was born in Georgia, African-American guy in Detroit. He's the only guy on the roster. He's the only guy. And I think because there was no African-American players on the 40-man roster at all.
Yeah, we literally had this conversation, I think, on maybe the first show of the year. Yeah, that's
so
really
we had to add him. And I think he could be as lovable or more lovable, of course.
We'll get into this later, but there was some sort of cruel irony in Blaine going down to make room for my other boy. But we'll get into that later. So that brings us to this week's leadoff question. Who is your all-time favorite Tigers non-roster invitee / who from Tigers spring training past did you most fall head over heels for?
This is a really stupid one, but I was convinced that this guy was going to be the thing. It was all the way back.
I thought you were talking about my question. I'm like, thanks.
No. Your question is 3 to 4 fire emojis. My guy was a Rule 5 guy along with Kyle Lobstein, and that was Jeff Coburnus. Do you remember Jeff Coburnus?
He was my choice, yes.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
No, because he was fast. He was had wheels. He could play different positions. He played some second base. He played some outfield. And I saw him. I if my memory serves me right, we were at Disney watching a game, and he hit a double up the gap, or maybe it was a triple. And I thought, oh yeah, this guy's the real deal. And I thought for sure Jeff Coburnus was going to make the roster and he was going to be an everyday piece. They shipped him unceremoniously back to the Nationals, and that's the last we ever heard of him.
Yeah, this was kind of before Big Steve just had infinite ability to get baseballs. I had one big league baseball that spring, and I was trying to figure out who do I want to get to autograph it, and I picked Jeff Coburnus.
No kidding.
It turns out that wasn't maybe such my best option, but he seriously looked like, obviously we hadn't heard of him at the time, but like a mini, Trey Turner light. Like I thought, like you said, I thought this dude was going to be an absolute baller for us. I did a little research on, where is he now? We don't know where he's at now, but he had a career 139 big league batting average, and he finished his career with more strikeouts than hits, which that's maybe not such a great sign.
Not good. Well, he only batted. I looked it up because I thought, oh, man, he had to have had a big spring. And no, it was like a 220 average for that spring. So I was deceiving myself. It was just selective memory.
We wanted it so bad.
We did. And all the projections in, thought maybe he'd get the spot. And I think Danny Wirth got that spot. I'm not sure. This was a long time ago, friends. It's like 5 years ago.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. I'm not spelling it for you guys anymore. I just won't do it. And Eric is at Comerica Eric. Show is at facebook.com/podcastianos. And we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. And we don't have any new reviews for this week, but we're up to 71 ratings. So we got 2 in the last week, and we are still at 5.0 stars. I don't know exactly how that works because we have received reviews that were not 5 stars, the math feels like it works for me.
Everybody in life deserves to be rounded up.
Yeah.
Just round up. It's,
And
it's fine.
I have a bracket challenge update because we said the winner was going to receive a wonderful prize from you.
I stepped that up, though. You not only get the baseball cards, you're going to get a disc golf disc in the mail.
Wow. So. Dang.
Yeah. It's like a real prize.
It is a real prize. So you have left me in your wake. You're at 640 and I'm at 600, which I have no idea how many points or games that actually is, but you're roughly 40 points better than me. And do you know who actually leads the group?
No, I have no idea.
None other than Big Steve himself.
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
Getting balls, getting girls, and getting wins. The Big Steve lifestyle. he's come out with his own brand, you know, like Jimmy Buffett, only it's based on like winning and getting balls instead of tropical beach lifestyle. The Big Steve brand. I'd get some nice Big Steve button ups, you know.
No,
with some ball logo.
Big Steve would just be white t-shirts, like with stuff on them, but Big Steve lives in white t-shirts.
So all right.
That would be the move there.
I'm buying into his brand. I want that lifestyle.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannis.
So, Eric, we have a 25-man roster.
Can you believe
it? I love that the caveat, unless we do something else, is everywhere. Like, all of the beat writers are tweeting, and Avila, you know, it came out of his actual mouth like, we have 25 guys, but, you know, unless we do something else. Like, could you be any less excited about the 25 guys that you've chosen as the best we have to offer?
Well, when you are kind of in the dregs of the league, yeah, you know, maybe you take somebody's sloppy seconds a little bit. You know, they're cast-offs, if you will.
Yeah.
You have to be honest with yourself and say, yeah, maybe I'd take somebody else's leavings.
I got to be honest, though. As excited as I am about Nico making the team, if they find somebody else's waiver wire guy and put him on the 40-man and take him instead of Nico, I'm going to be pissed. Like, so pissed.
Really?
I'm so invested at this point. It's not necessarily healthy. I'm aware of that. So,
okay.
So all the people,
I'm great.
All the people that you expected to make, you know, the 25-man did. But there are some more interesting points. Daniel Norris is the fifth starter while Fires opens on the DL. Buck Farmer and Warwick Saupold round out the bullpen. And I feel like the entire bench is a little bit of a surprise with Nico. In addition to Hicks, who we kind of thought, and Victor Reyes,
sure.
The Rule 5 guy will stick around, and Jacoby Jones. Definitely a few surprises in there for me, but where do you want to start here?
Let's start with Reyes, I guess. You poo-pooed big time, Mr. You said his swing sucked. Do you stand by that claim?
I do. I don't understand. Like, he had one big game, and all of a sudden Gardenhire's like, you know what? We like that kid.
The Tigers brass in the article by McCoskey, I think, today, they were talking about his, batting practice power. You know how his swing looks good and how they're excited about him. Is that rationalization or is that actual excitement?
No, that is complete rationalization. Here's the thing. Dude has 12 career minor league home runs. He's 6'3". How does that happen? You would think that even just throwing the bat out there, being his size, you would run into more than 12 home runs. His swing is not good. Like, you can swing all you want against, you know, 78-mile-an-hour fastballs in batting practice, but when somebody's bringing the heat at him, specifically late in games when he's probably going to find himself in the ball game,
right?
I'm not saying that he will never turn into something, but just cut your losses. I feel like this is extreme face-saving, and I don't love that, especially when we're in a rebuild.
Yeah, and like you said, you're going to use him late in games, a defensive sub or, a pinch runner situation. And here's a guy who doesn't have any big league experience. I can see Jacoby Jones getting called on a lot more to do that kind of stuff if it's a game that is winnable than Reyes. You know, what is he good for?
He's essentially what we're doing right now is asset collection. Somebody in the organization thinks there might be something here, and he's going to sit on the bench and never play because there's a chance that he might you know, develop at some point down the stretch.
What can he do that Jones or Goodrum cannot do?
Absolutely nothing.
He doesn't hit for power.
He doesn't. I don't. He's fast.
Jacoby hits a lot more power,
and he's a better defensive outfielder.
Yeah.
And it's not like Reyes is 21 and has all this time to mature and develop. He's I think 24. Like that's not young for a prospect.
Yeah.
Give me Nico. So, give me Jacoby over him all day. And you know, I went from being the biggest Jacoby lover to one of the biggest Jacoby haters. And even I would take Jacoby 10 times out of 10 over him right now.
I've never really gotten off the Jacoby train. I like Jacoby Jones.
I like him as a guy. Like he seems like a real boss. But
he's toolsy. I like that he's toolsy.
Yeah, and
he can do some stuff for you.
You know, if he starts the year like a house on fire, you know I'm going to be back in a big and as I said before, unhealthy way. But I'm still not quite there yet. I guess for me, the Reyes one was probably the biggest surprise. But Jacoby being a meaningful part of the plans, I did not see that one coming. The numbers, there were so many strikeouts last year, and he's cut them down in a meaningful way this spring. And obviously he's had good springs before. Like I don't want to get too carried away, but you can only go on what you've seen recently. And you know, he has been good this spring, like really good.
Yeah. If he faltered, if he stubbed his toe this spring, I think it'd be a guy like Jim Adusi.
Yeah. But the thing with Adusi is we were able to send him to AAA and he's still around. If Jacoby, like you say, stubs his toe over the first month or two of the year, we still have Jim Adusi, who I'm convinced is a average to slightly above average major league hitter.
The dude can hit.
There is no way that you can make a case that he can't hit. You know, he's questionable in a couple different positions in the field, but dude can hit. And I like that he's going to be sticking around.
So Dan Dickerson brought this up in his broadcast. You know, they track the outfield speeds, defensive speeds of guys with like, you know, StatCast or Position Tracker or whatever. The number one fastest defensive outfielder for the Tigers last year, you know who it was?
I'm going to go with the Adusi.
Juicy Adusi. Yeah. And it's probably a small sample and stuff, but Dan Dickerson was talking about that on air. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, that is really interesting. I would have assumed Jacoby Jones, considering we've anointed him.
I think he was second.
The best defensive outfielder since Ken Griffey Jr., which, to be fair, he is a good defensive outfielder. That's nothing against his ability in the outfield. I was a little surprised that we brought along two long guys in both Warrick and Buck Farmer. Clearly, you know that I like Buck, and I think that he could develop into a solid, you know, bullpen piece now that he's focusing solely on relieving. But I would have assumed it would have been one or the other here, even though Warrick had a slightly above average year with the Tigers last year. I still thought it was going to be Buck with Warrick starting a year down at Toledo.
And you would have taken Blaine?
I would have taken Blaine, and I would have taken Barbato too. Obviously, you know, injuries will have him starting on the DL.
Yeah,
DL. I was impressed with Barbato. I like the action on his pitches, and I think he's going to develop into a meaningful piece out there. Okay. Any other surprises for you?
I mean, Goodrum. I mean, was you know he had to beat out Amarista and our boy rapper Ronnie Rodriguez. So, but his performance in the spring probably justified keeping him over those other two guys, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. And he just has a few tools that none of those guys do. I mean, he doesn't rap, but there are a lot of other things he does. Speaking of, did you watch the video that Emily tweeted to us of him rapping?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it.
It wasn't great.
I don't know if that was the one. Ouch.
It wasn't great.
It was SoundCloud quality? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. How many bars do you think he got of painful artistic inspiration from being sent down?
Oh, for sure. Because they come in, increments of 16, right?
I believe so.
So probably at least 32 bars for sure.
So many bars. I mean, I feel like he should be paying the Tigers at this point.
Yeah. That's the extent of my rap knowledge, you know, big into rap structure. This is an all-encompassing show, okay, friends? What else do you want to know about?
So let's move on to Blaine Hardy, something we both know I guess someone. I feel like I'm uncomfortable referring to him as a thing. Someone that we know quite a bit about. A little bit of a head scratcher for me. DFA'd him. Just straight up.
Yes, they put him through. Him. Yep, put him through waivers.
Now he passed waivers and will stay at Toledo, but he's off the 40 man. Are you surprised that they risk losing him, especially with options remaining?
A little bit, but Al did not make a big deal out of it. In the article, he was pretty matter of fact, just like, 29 other teams passed on him. He's going to Toledo, which I thought was fairly savage, especially since he goes from making like $700,000 back to like 100 and some, which is kind of a big deal for these guys, you know, at that stage in their career. So it was a little bit brutal. I guess I'm happy the Tigers kept him. I'm happy the Tigers saved a little bit of money, but I'm also, that's kind of bad for the player. If he would have got claimed and went off to, I don't know, the Rays, for instance, I would be happy for him too if he got a pay boost and played and pitched in the big leagues, I guess. So yeah. I can't begrudge these guys for moving on if another team wants them. But he's on the Danny Wirth Memorial Highway, I feel like, again this year, back and forth.
The problem with that, though, is like, I feel like this sends a very clear message that he's not part of the plans. Like, not only were they willing to lose him, but, you know, now they have to make a 40-man move if they have any intentions of bringing him up. Like, they picked Bell and Renninger and Lewicki and Ryan Carpenter over him, and that is an extreme level of meh, like a lot of it that they thought he was less meh than them. I don't know. I call me the optimist, but I refuse to believe that he is done contributing in Detroit. We have not seen the last of Blaine Hardy, but it's.
I agree with you. Every time his big league ERA is still in the upper, area of the relief pitchers that we have. I mean, he's always pitched well for us. And I feel like he's gotten a little bit overlooked, but I get that he's not in high demand and he's kind of a guy, but he's always pitched well for us.
And I think part of the problem is he's been misused. He's been viewed as a guy who can get you a couple innings, as a guy who, you know, can give you a full inning. Just straight up using him as a lefty one out guy, I think he could really excel at that. Sure. But he's never been given the chance to do that. I don't know. I wish him the best of luck down in Toledo.
He'll be back.
I want to see him back. So Mike Fiers will start the year on the DL. You had this question down in the outline. What do we do when he comes back?
I heard conversation today. Who was I listening to? I think it was Dickerson. And Jim and Dan seem to think that Norris will go back down to Toledo.
See,
that was kind of
my assumption. The problem with that, though, is he even himself said, I don't know what I can what I can learn in Toledo. And that tells me that the mindset isn't going to be right with him going down there. And mindset with him is the whole thing.
Right. I ultimately, and we'll get to this later. Well, I'll save it for later.
I believe they call that a tease in the business.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as we let's shift at this point, let's move on. As we all know, Thursday is the big day, opening day at home versus the Pirates. Now, Eric, I have in my notes now, Eric Comerica is only recently sold out. I feel like there's some sort of tongue twisting word there with your Twitter name.
You did well.
Do you think the vibe is going to be a little different on opening day this year based on the shift in approach, shall we say, of the club?
I there might be even less attention paid to the game this year and a lot more to the bottom of glasses, if you know what I mean, bottom of cups.
But that's what opening day is about.
Opening day is always sloppy. Like, it's going to be extra sloppy, I feel like, this year. It's always kind of amateur hour, opening day. The lines for the bathrooms are huge and stuff, but they didn't sell out. Just recently announced they have sold out, and I think that is in air quotations sold out, because they're still advertising tickets, and I guarantee you could probably buy some standing room tickets for opening day yet, which is kind of disappointing, because it's a holiday in Detroit, right? it's calendar, it's on your calendar opening day. You go party during the day and you do stupid things you normally wouldn't do, and you know, it's a celebration of spring.
Take a guess as to what opening day tickets are going for on SeatGeek right now.
SeatGeek opening. I bet you get a standing room ticket for $40.
The let's see, it looks like the cheapest right now is $48.
Which that's pretty close.
And that is actually a real seat. It looks like it's out towards the skyline seats. I have looked in the past, and they have in several years they have been several times that on SeatGeek. It's a little sad. I was actually looking or trying to get to Comerica either Monday or Tuesday this coming week, and there are tickets from $6 on Monday and from $5 on Tuesday. And like the nice ones, you know, kind of between the dugout and home plate, under 20.
If you want a good seat in Comerica Park to take in a ball game, go a weekday night in April, and you'll be able to go for a song.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think that the difference in approach, like I said before, is going to affect attendance this year, like significantly? I mean, it did to a certain extent last year.
Yeah, I think for sure. I think attendance is going to be significantly off. I mean, just from my experience, like my normal hookup for tickets, the company I usually get them from, they decided not to renew their season ticket package for this year because they knew they were going to stink. So I think they maybe would again when they get a little bit better. But I mean, it doesn't take too many companies who buy these big plans to say, yeah, we're going to take a pass for a year or two.
Yeah, we're going to get White Sox or White Cap season tickets.
And that's just it. I mean, if you're going to go see mediocre baseball, I mean, go see a minor league game, take your family, and they have mascots and stupid between inning games and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, when people go to a big league game, more often than other games, they're there to see quality winning baseball and the excitement about major leagues and seeing them on ESPN and having people talk about them. But if that's not really happening, that loses a big connection with some people who want to go to games.
Yeah, it'll just be interesting if like the lower resale prices kind of normalize a little bit for the crappy product. I mean, I'm going to try and get to as many games as possible because I will be sitting through them on, you know, on the TV regardless. I might as well be there. And if, you know, tickets are $5, that's worth a trip down from TC for.
This is remotely related, but did you see the Tigers Twitter hashtag announced today?
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Detroit summer.
It's so bad.
Summers.
Why?
I'll tell you why. Because the team is not going to be good. So they're playing up the atmosphere, the summer, the tradition, the experience. Come out to the ballpark, Detroit summer. Not Detroit winning. Detroit summer.
There's one hashtag that should ever go with the Tigers, and that is, of course, hashtag eat them up. It's a classic.
Who's your Tiger?
Oh, that's a good one, too. All right, those two. And those ones should give you the little old English D after it. I have to admit, I love when hashtags give you the little picture. I will use them. I will go out of my way to use them to get the little picture. I don't know if that makes me a child or what, but
it does.
Oh, okay. All right. So let's move on to the fire part of the show.
Fun.
The season previews, we do them two ways. We start with over-unders where I took the pitchers, Eric took the hitters. We will throw out an over-under for a specific player, and then we will both give whether we think they will go over or under that.
Pretty simple premise, friends. Yeah.
And then after this, we will get to our, you know, super fire, bold, hot takes, which are just general predictions for the coming Tiger season. So why don't you kick us off on this year's season over-unders?
Okay. Victor Martinez, over under 2.5 times on the disabled list.
You know what? I'm going to take the under. I think we're going to see a respectable swan song from Victor.
I also will take the under. I think he's going to hold up.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt he will go on at some point. I just don't think it's going to happen 3 times.
We should disagree. This is lame audio.
No, everyone.
Rabble, 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 rabble.
Exactly. Okay, so let's move on to Jordan Zimmerman. He is the first pitcher. 24 starts made, and I use the 24 number in relation to his $24 million salary in 2018.
How many did he start last year?
That is a number that I might have had prepared, but I do not. So
I'm going to go over.
Okay. I feel like these last couple starts have made me think, you know what? We actually might get some quality production from Zimmerman, which I still think we probably will. But I think we are going to get less than that many starts. And if things, and I say if, I mean more mean when things go south down the stretch, I feel like he could be an early shutdown candidate. You know, just like I've said with all the other guys, try and save a few bullets in that arm. So I will go under, but I feel like 24 is right about that right number. Maybe a push, but I'll take the under.
29 games started last year.
That's shocking. Like Buddy the Elf, that's shocking.
8 wins, 13 losses, and a 6.08 ERA.
Is that good?
I don't think so.
Okay, just clarifying.
Close to Sanchez's 6.41 ERA last year.
Wolf.
Yeah.
All right. What do you got for me?
Okay. Nick Ulis Castellanos, over under 28.5 home runs. The last 4 years, last year he hit 26. Zips, Dan Savorsky, however you say his name, who does the projections, has predicted 28 home runs for our friend Nicholas. You want over or under 28.5 home runs?
I will take the under. I don't necessarily see anything in him that this spring that says he's going to be significantly better than he was last year. You know, he's still young. He's still kind of in that developing area of his career. But the problem is the lineup around him is not going to be as good. He won't have as much protection. Maybe he sees a few less pitches to hit. I feel like that's right about the right number, but I would say more like 25, 26. So I'll take the under. Apparently you're extremely pessimistic about this year because I have 3 unders in a row.
Yeah, really. 29 home runs is a lot of home runs, and I'm still taking the over.
All right.
Nick is going to be a year older. You know, he's got that man body. He's going to settle into right field and not worry about his defense so much. He can just play his game, and he's going to crush the baseball. Over.
All right, let's go. That would be nice. That would be fun to watch.
Yeah.
All right, Daniel Norris. This is kind of a two-part one. Over under 2.5 times Tigers Twitter conclude that he has turned the corner, and then 0.5 times that he will have actually turned the corner.
I'm going to say over and over. I think there's going to be a lot of hype around him turning the corner. Little setbacks, maybe a little worry, but I think he will turn the corner, and this will be the year we get the real Daniel Norris.
I'm going to go with the same.
Kidding.
Maybe I just want it too bad. I will never stop believing. The arm is there. The persona's there. There's an ace somewhere inside that man. And I believe this is the year. And truly, if it isn't this year, it's going to be really hard to maintain that optimism. But it doesn't matter because this is the year.
Make or break. Okay.
Absolutely.
Candelario, under or over a 248 batting average.
Oh, way over.
This is his Zips projection again. Last year he hit 330 in 94 at bats, but this is going to be his first kind of full year.
One of his standout attributes is the hit tool. I think that's what's going to translate the soonest. I think the in-game power is going to come a little bit later, but I would be surprised if he hit under 265. So I'm gonna take the over,
really,
and maybe significantly over that.
I wanted the over too, but I was surprised this projection was a little bit low. But if he batted 250, would you be upset with that?
No, that would be part
not if it had some power with it.
Yeah, When he is a complete package, once he's fully developed, it will be – I think his batting average will push 300 and maybe not there consistently. But I think he's going to
be a good hitter.
Yeah.
I think he should bat second too.
I absolutely think he should bat second. So you had the over?
I had the over as well.
All right. Yeah, a lot of agreeing here. This isn't good. Okay, going to Matt Boyd or Matthew Boyd, depending on who you talk to. And the number is 1.5, and that would be position rank on the staff in innings pitched this year.
Innings pitched. Interesting. So I have to think that two people are going to pitch more than hit, more innings than him. I'm going to say Fulmer is going to pitch more innings than him. And I'm going to say either one of Zimmerman or probably more likely Liriano is going to pitch more innings than him. So I'm going to take the under, assuming by your premise that you're going to take the over.
I 100% will take the over. I think he leads the team in innings pitched this year. I am under the impression I would be very surprised if Michael Fulmer made a full complement of starts for the Tigers this year. And I think if that doesn't happen, Boyd's going to take the ball 32, 33, 34 times this year.
He might have to, yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely think he will have to. So I think he's nailed on unless, you know, Zimmerman has a year, you know, a bounce back year.
This is not a crazy projection. No. You can for sure see it. Victor Reyes. over or under 0.5 at bats for the Tigers after July 1.
Ooh.
Does he get an at bat after July 1?
That is a really good one.
Does he make it the whole year with the Tigers?
I think he does. I think there's enough face-saving ability and desire within that front office.
Trashing him, throwing him under the bus. Now you think he's going
to
stick.
I'm not the GM. If I were the GM, he absolutely wouldn't. But nobody has asked me to be in charge yet.
I'm taking the under. I think he gets dumped at some time this year.
We would be better off if he were. I mean, let's not kid ourselves here. Okay, let's move on to your boy, Mike Fiers. I have a four-part one for you, and I think...
Four parts? Come on!
It all comes together to make one point.
All right, lay it on me.
All right, the numbers are 119 innings pitched, 4 wins, a 5.07 ERA, and 4.2 strikeouts per 9. Do you have any idea as to why those numbers I picked specifically?
No.
They happen to be the numbers of one Mike Pelfrey in his one season in Detroit.
Pelf. Is he going to be didn't you just say under, over, Pelf?
That is essentially the question.
I'm taking under Pelf.
What? There is no way I was the biggest Pelf backer. There is no way he is worse than Pelfrey.
He's worse than Pelf.
There is no way that is true. I could not disagree more. 4.2 strikeouts per 9. How is that even physically possible?
Pelf had a couple good starts. Fiers is not my guy. No.
That is abundantly clear from this projection.
Yeah. I'm taking under Pelf.
All right. Let the record show that I'm taking over Pelf.
All right. Yeah. Okay. This one is for the entire Tigers team.
Okay.
Under or over 84.5 stolen bases. 84 stolen bases last year was the league average. Last year, we stole 65 bases, which is good for 23rd in baseball. So do you want over or under 84.5 stolen bases?
I'm going to take the under, just simply based on where in the world would those stolen bases come from? Like, you have to have multiple guys getting to double figures. who on our team is going to steal double figure bases?
Martin?
Yeah, I could see Martin getting up 10, 15, 20. Right. I could see Mikey swiping 10 or 15, but that still leaves, what, 20, 30 more? Yeah.
So the thing is, you have Victor and Cabrera aren't going to steal any. But even our medium, middle-of-the-road guys aren't really going to steal any. Castellanos, McCann, you know, even Iglesias.
He doesn't run at all.
He doesn't run. So I'm you know, there's been some talk, oh, Gardenhire is going to have these guys running anymore. You know, this is going to be like the Twins, small ball. He may want to do that. There might be talk about that. But I just don't think he's got the pieces to do it. I'm taking under, way under.
I agree.
How about this? Do you think we're going to steal more than last year?
I do think we will steal more than last year. I think we're going to try a lot more than last year. And even if we, you know, I don't think our success rate will be much higher. But I think just by sheer volume, there's a pretty good chance we will go over that number.
So somewhere between 65 and 85.
And as our good buddy Hookslide points out, it is actually not a good idea to try and steal bases. So
no, stealing is ridiculously stupid.
It is, as is Bunting. Another thing that we're going to see a lot of this year.
You'd think professional baseball men would like read a book about this occasionally and know that most strategic plays yield negative net expected runs.
Yeah.
They're stupid.
I feel like we're not even like in the upper echelon as far as baseball nerdery goes. And we both have a very solid understanding that that is 100% the case.
Yeah. Read a book.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Okay, back to my turn. You know I was going to come up with one about Drew Verhagen.
Of course.
4.5 saves.
4.5 saves for Verhagen. He's going to have to stumble into those, though, because we would expect Green is going to get a lot of those.
We would.
So I'm expecting Green to get a lot of those, and I'm expecting Green to be good. So I'm going to say under for Verhagen.
So obviously I'm taking the over. Here's the thing. Shane Green is not going to be with the Tigers after July 31st. Shane Green is going to have to be terrible
not
be traded at the deadline.
I get where you're going with this, yeah.
Drew Verhagen ends 2018 as the Detroit Tigers closer. Boom, right. I said it. I didn't even say that one for the hot takes. I'm busting that out right now. Right. Drew Verhagen ends this year as the Tigers closer.
All right. So I'm looking at the stats from last year. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 pitchers for the Tigers last year earned a save. Justin Wilson got 13. K-Rod got 7. Rondon got 1. Alex Wilson got 2. Like, saves are not particularly easy to get if you're not the closer. So,
yeah.
You have to have some rationale for that.
He will be the closer. That's the rationale.
Yeah, all right. I'm tracking with you. Okay. It's my turn.
It is.
Ron Gardenhire, over or under 5.5 ejections this year. Let me give you some context. He's 10th on the all-time list with 65 ejections. In 13 seasons, he's averaged 5 per game.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. When you said 5.5, I'm like, nobody ever gets to 5.5. He averages 5.
He averages 5 a season.
I'm gonna go over. I think there's gonna be more. He's gonna be more irritated this year than in many prior years.
Because he's losing,
and it's cold in Detroit. I'm taking the over. It seems like an impossible number to get to, but I don't know.
I'm gonna take the under because you're gonna be more mellow because you've kind of come to a understanding about what's going on with your club. So
yeah,
I'm taking the
can
under.
Can he accept that? He's.
I don't. That's, you know, that's a magic question.
You know, you're supposed to want to win above all things. That's what the older generation does.
Yep. Play to win the game.
Yeah, exactly.
Will to win and whatnot.
And whatnot. Okay, let's move on. I have two more. And the first one is Joe Jimenez. I have two numbers that I feel like will sum up his season. 10 strikeouts per 9.
Okay.
and 40 appearances.
Ooh, 40 appearances. I'm going to take, oof.
So rough eyeballing his minor league numbers, I would say he's give or take a 12 strikeout per nine guy over the course of his minor league career.
Yeah. I'm going to take, let's see, Rondon had 12 strikeouts per nine last year. I'm going to take over on both, I think. That surprises me that I would do that, but I think those are achievable numbers.
I genuinely think that he is a key piece of this bullpen at this point. And
any kind of consistent pitching will yield those numbers. If he sticks, he'll get those, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I thought this was going to be a little more controversial, but you seem to be right there with me.
I mean, you'd have to think that he's going to flame out not to achieve that.
Yeah, and I think and that I we've reached the point where he's ready to not flame out.
Okay, under or over 1.5 costumed fans interviewed by Johnny Cain?
Over. It's going to be a long season. Johnny's going to have to find a costume or two.
Yeah, the fans can't just be any fans. They have to be costumed.
Yeah, okay. No, I'm 100% in. It will be a better season for me if we hit the over here.
All right. I'll take under. Just because you gotta find the costume fan, and then you gotta come up with some BS excuse to interview him. Like unicorn guy was like one last year.
Yeah, it was like finding a unicorn. Is that a good joke? Was that okay?
It was all right.
Speaking of, we were at the boys basketball state semifinals and finals this past weekend, and it was broadcast on Fox Sports Detroit. And there's actually a new girl that was doing the sideline reporting. I don't
woman.
Yeah. Woman. Yeah. Sorry, I don't know. I don't know who she is, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that power struggle with her and Johnny Cain shakes out.
If she pops up and you think we have an Anchorman situation,
not necessarily. I feel like that was based on chauvinism and sexism. I just think that there's a new possible, you know, sideline talent in town.
Right.
We'll have to see.
Like, you know, sheriff in town. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have to see how. Obviously, I'm in Team Johnny. I think that obviously goes without saying. But
right.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Okay. So I have one more, and this one goes for Francisco Liriano, Michael Fulmer, and Shane Green. All of them the same projection, and that would be half of an appearance for the Detroit Tigers after July 31st.
Okay, so are they going to be on the team in August? And who are my players?
Green, Fulmer, Liriano.
So basically, are they going to get traded? They're not going to trade Fulmer, so over on Fulmer. Liriano, I think they will trade. And then Green was the other one?
Yes.
I'm less certain about him than Liriano. I'm going to say they will probably trade him too. So under.
Unfortunately, I completely agree with you. I think Green and Liriano are as good as gone. Liriano actually is the one that I'm least convinced of there. I think there's a chance that he pitches himself out of being interesting to anyone. I hope he doesn't, because that was the point in signing him.
Right.
But I think those two go. I wouldn't be surprised if Michael Fulmer goes to the deadline. I'm not going to project it, but I wouldn't be surprised if
we'd have to get a King's ransom for him. We better hold out for a freaking King's ransom for him.
And that's
looks so good.
And that's the right play. If we get the package that we think, you know, a young ace is worth, then you have to, you know, get more pieces. Because
I'm still of a mind they're not going to trade him.
Yeah,
I'm on the no trade train.
I would prefer them keep him. I am willing to accept that there is logic that the right deal would be worth it.
Yeah, but I mean, you hope someday you might get a guy as good as Michael Fulmer. I mean, he's not like a mediocre guy that you just want to trade for a lottery ticket. I mean, he's the cashed in lottery ticket. He's good.
Yeah.
All right. Ready for hot takes?
Let's get to the hot takes.
All right. Who's going first?
Well, you wanted to talk about the history of our hot takes first.
Oh, I just want to say, you know, it's important to realize that how often we get these right. And that is almost always. I mean, it's pretty much prophecy. So if you're going to Vegas, you might put some, take some money, you know, get a second mortgage on your house, plunk it down on these hot takes, cash in.
To be honest, I can't even remember any of the ones that we got wrong last year.
I can't remember.
Did we? Did we get any wrong?
Who's to know?
Who's to know?
Is such a thing knowable? Probably not.
Probably not. Right. Okay, I'll go first because I assume I have more than you.
Go.
Okay. The first one. Tigers Twitter will at some point in the season be comfortable with using Drew Verhagen and Buck Farmer late in ball games.
Yeah, okay. That's not too we're warming up slowly.
There is a hefty chunk of the internet that hates Drew Verhagen.
I think you're overestimating the strength of any kind of opinion for Drew Verhagen.
That's probably true. That is a good point. But seriously, everyone knows how I feel about Drew. But yes. I genuinely think that there is a maybe not an elite reliever arm in Buck Farmer, but he has stuff that if he's solely pitching out of the bullpen and solely pitching, you know, 30 pitches at a time, I think that there's a lot of stuff there that could play really, really well.
Okay.
I genuinely think that if he gets that chance, that he could succeed in it.
I'm buying it. Sure.
All right.
Ready for my first one?
Absolutely.
Mike Fiers will be released before July.
I should have known that the first one was going to be Fiers
released.
Related.
Released unceremoniously. Done. We're done with you, Mike Fiers. Cut. DFA, whatever you want to call it. No, not DFA. Cut. Released.
I don't understand this burning, passionate hatred.
Which is going to be worse than Pelf. He's going to be worse than Pelf. I already predicted that.
He is going to give us positive WAR this year. I genuinely believe that. I think he will be a contributor, like a bona fide contributor.
All right, fine.
Okay, speaking of WAR, Nico Goodrum will account for more WAR this season than either Jose Iglesias or Dixon Machado.
Stop it. That's a dumb take.
Is it? If one of them loses their job to Nico, which is, tell me that's not entirely possible.
It's impossible.
It is not impossible.
No, listen, he's not going to take Iglesias' job because Iglesias is getting paid. And he's not going to take Machado's job because if anybody takes Machado's job, it's going to be Jacoby Jones.
At second base?
Sure. No. Why not?
Boy, you tripping. You tripping.
Got to find a place for that bat. Come on.
Obviously.
I guess that's one of my hot takes. Jacoby Jones takes over at second. No, I actually don't think that. But no, WAR is a little bit of a counting stat. I mean, you have to play, right?
He's going
to
play.
I'm not buying it.
He is going to play. He is going to play in 120 games this year.
Sure, whatever. Okay, my next one, I hope wins me points for specificity. Okay, it's not so hot, but I hope it's pretty specific. Nicholas Castellanos is featured in the final six for the All-Star game voting, but he doesn't win.
That is extremely specific, and I like it.
I think that's what's going to happen. You know, outfield is kind of packed, but I think he's got a good season. You know, they feature a Detroit guy, but he's not going to win.
How do you feel about the final six voting?
You know how I feel about All-Star voting altogether.
I hate that specifically because the various teams will like, hey, do you want to be voting buddies? Like,
Torino? Remember Brand Torino?
Yeah, the four of us will, you know, team up and try and, like, just stop. I hate it all. Okay, where am I at? In 2018, Miguel Cabrera will hit more doubles than JD Martinez.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Yeah. I think JD's going to struggle a little bit in adapting. I don't know if you know this, but people like baseball a little bit in Boston, and some people have felt pressure there. And I do think Mickey, you know, rounds back into form. I mean, he's not going to win a Triple Crown again. Like, those days are over. But I think he can be near the top of the league in doubles, especially if he stays healthy.
But listen, for us, so I don't have his Houston numbers. That doesn't help. But Cabrera hit 22 doubles last year. JD, for us, hit 13.
Which was under half a season.
So if you 26, so he's not crazy far behind, I guess is what I'm saying.
Okay.
He can't be.
Anyway.
Where am I? Okay. Victor Martinez plays in 140 plus games and hits over 290.
That is kooky talk. Specifically the first part, but both parts are straight up kooky talk.
Yeah, he's playing a ton of games. He stays healthy, hits 290 plus.
It will be a better season than we think if he does that.
That'd be awesome.
It would be. Okay, next one. I will get a pick or have a bro sesh at some point this season with Johnny Cain.
I believe that. That's a layup.
I hope so.
Word is, I'm sure, traveling over the internet of your man crush on him.
It's actually really cool. Anytime he does anything, somebody will tweet it to me. So I don't even have to, stay focused on him to know what's going on. Yeah. People just will inundate me with it. I love it.
I know. Phil Koch eats a ham sandwich and somebody's tweeting me what kind of mustard he had on it. Trust me, I know.
I feel like that sums up this show. You are most closely related to an out of baseball goateed left-handed pitcher who pointed at fly balls. And yeah. I am most closely associated with the sideline reporter.
Yeah, that's probably accurate.
Who has a lot of swag.
Is it my turn?
It is.
Daniel Stumpf leads the Tiger in ERA.
I buy that.
Yeah. Lefty, kind of a picks his spots, loogie guy. I could see him having a really solid ERA.
Your fascination with him fascinates me. I love it. I eat that up.
You just add extra F. I love Stump. Yeah. He's good.
He is good. He's not
darn right he's good.
He's not as good as you are fascinated with him, though.
Whatever. He's good.
All right. Mikey Matuk, also known as the perfectly sized snake, will be the Tigers' representative at the All-Star game this year.
Oh, all right.
The other options are not hashtag great.
All right. Since you had a Mikey Matuk one, I'll give my Mikey Matuk one. Mikey Matuk goes on the disabled list because of some crazy weight training exercise he tried. He tried to like pick up a Buick or like tried to, lift a chain that was, put a chain over his neck and wore it around for a day. He's some craziness.
That sounds right. And probably a microcosm of our season.
Sure.
And him just in general.
Yeah. He's beefy.
He certainly is beefy. Okay.
He's got like Andy Dirk's neck. He's just like a stocky kind of short. I don't know.
Are you referring to Tiger's savior, Andy Dirks?
Dirks. I love Dirks.
There will be one mainstream media mention for the podcastianos in 2018.
Oh, you're hoping. You're stretching.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
We'll go with that. I got my final one, and it is in fuego.
Oh, here we go.
All right. Philip Douglas Koch starts a big league game this year.
Not even makes an appearance.
Starts a big league game this year. He's going down to Mexico. He's dialing in that knuckleball. He's going to light it all up. Big league team is going to need a starter. Call up Phil.
My computer is literally bursting into flames right now.
It's a little on the periphery of reality, but it's gonna happen.
I thought your tweet about that being similar to the plot line of Eastbound and Down was really, really funny.
It's pretty accurate.
It is extremely accurate. They have a similar body type too. And I have one more. I assumed you would mention this at some point, but there will be a fun animal on the field, and Mario will swear on the air. I don't know how we both.
I say those every year, and it still hasn't happened. Well, the animal's more likely. I'm still waiting for the hot mic Mario to drop a cuss word. Come on, Mario. I need you to come through for us.
Yeah, that's the dream. That's the dream.
That is a dream.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh. All right, let's move on to your beef of the week.
Beef of the week. All right. So this is kind of a two-part beef of the week. Michigan weather this time of year is bipolar. You get spring. Nope, just kidding. Not spring. It's like 20 degrees out and your face hurts when you go outside. You know who I blame? I blame my freaking Dutch ancestors. They came on this boat and they said, oh, where should we live? I know there's a swamp over by Holland, and Albertus van Rolte decides, oh, that's a good spot. Looks like home. They'll dig some ditches with our wooden shoes. And you know what you gave us, Albertus? You gave us crap weather. You know what we got? We got lake effect snow. We got spring that doesn't make any sense. I blame my freaking Dutch ancestors. Why not Florida? Why not California? Just get it. Go to the other side of the country, Albertus. Thus, Dutch people just need some nicer weather. Stop trying to take on the world and being by yourself with some religious nuttery because you can't talk to any normal people. You got to suffer the bad weather. And I got to shovel and have crappy springs where I can't play disc golf when I want to. Thanks for nothing, Dutch ancestors. Move someplace nicer.
I have a lot of sympathy for you downstate folks that don't have winter, you know, up until the middle of June. It's a joke. I don't, because we have winter until the middle of June up here.
Yeah. If stupid settlers. Settle someplace, you know, Northern California is beautiful. You know, Virginia is nice. Just don't. Why West Michigan? Now I'm stuck here because everybody I know and care about lives here. Can't move away. Ugh.
You're just too attached. Gotta be more ruthless.
Smart people should just, you know, go someplace nice. Why do I live someplace where my face hurts when I go outside? It's dumb. It's freaking three springs.
Okay. Are you done, old man?
Yeah, I'm done. Okay. That's beef of the week, yeah.
No, I haven't really seen anything interesting on the side of the road since I've been back from Florida, but I do have a little bit of a different one for you this week, and that would be crap that I found in our yard when the snow melted. Is that of interest?
that's a whole genre up to itself.
Okay, so I have four things. The first one I figured you, of course, would appreciate, and that would be a Frisbee. Not a Frisbee golf Frisbee, like a kid's Frisbee. Yeah. I found a tape measure, because why not? Right. An empty half-gallon tub of vanilla ice cream. As much as I enjoy ice cream, I did not empty a half-gallon tub and then throw it into my yard this winter. And then the final one, of course, is poop. So much poop.
Yeah. Now, do you think the woman who uses her sitting spot had left all those things? Or?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. The problem is her sitting spot has been snowed in because, you know, I'll snowblow the driveway, but I'm not snowblowing a place for her to sit. If she wants to sit there, she can shovel it out herself.
Yeah, that'd be way too considerate of you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
speaking of this genre, I was talking to a woman at a bank, and the bank lies between there's a parking that lies between the bank and Meijer. Meijer's a big super center that sells many products. Anyway, they clear the whole parking lot of Meijer and they dump it in the spot near the bank. So there's a gigantic mound that grows. And she was telling me every spring as that pile melts, more days than not, there'll be like, you know, Big Steve type guys coming to comb through the melted debris of the snowbank looking for, you know, treasure or whatever. I found that fascinating.
Tell me you couldn't see Gardenhire and Bosio doing that.
Yeah, just kind of old, you know, white bearded men, you know.
That is so
little
funny.
Paunchy. out there combing, looking for treasure. They got nothing better to do.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
So we received a lot of Twitter questions this week, as we frequently do. So we're going to try and zoom through these real quick. We're running a little bit long. But you know what? It's a hot takes episode. This one always runs long.
We can do what we want.
We're getting you ready for spring break. Just hold on. Not spring break. Opening day. They're very similar things. The first one comes in from the favorite, Troya. He says, so is Goodrum coming north or what? Anthony.
Yes.
He is. We can all rejoice in that.
Yep. Next.
So this one comes in from Tigers_opinions. He asks us, levels of concern for Blaine Hardy's Cy Young case now that he's in Toledo.
It's not looking too hot.
See, the thing is you just have to change your Cy Young expectations. Maybe he goes down and wins that award in the minor leagues. Same award. Maybe. I don't know. They have to have a Cy Young award down there. He's still a AAA. That's just beneath it.
So close.
So close. Jacob Skronik, our buddy, at JP Skronik, asked us, power rankings of brackets, like parentheses, brackets, .. other, .. brackets. It's really a more visual medium. Who will be the most famous person to throw out a first pitch at a Tigers game this year, and when will either of you throw out a first pitch?
To answer the first questions, I think the brackets, you know, that denote order of operations, I think is really important. Order of operations. Celebrity to throw out a first pitch. I don't know. One of the American curling guys, maybe.
Oh, that'd be good. I know your favorite, Big Sean.
Or,
sometimes.
Who's the Shib Twins or whatever? You know they're going to do it because they're from Detroit area. You know, the Shib Sibs who won the ice dancing. They always do that kind of shenanigans. What did you say, Big Sean?
Big Sean. I know you're not familiar with his work, but he's a rapper. He's quite popular. You know who I think is going to be the first one to throw out a first pitch? She's not exactly from Detroit, but she's from the Midwest, and that is Sister Jean.
Sister Jean. Hope she makes it till. I'm sorry.
I got all kinds of Twitter crap for making a Sister Jean joke about death, and here you are making it. And everyone's going to say, oh, that's funny.
Sister Jean's healthy and spry. Should be fine.
No one loves a little Sister Jean FaceTime more than Sister Jean. I'm just going to leave it at that.
She's the Joe Jimenez of nuns.
Okay, at Litzner, Michael Litzner asks us, what former Tiger still playing and not traded last year would you like to see back in a Tigers uniform?
Oh, this is an easy one for me. Corey Knebel.
That would be a good choice.
He was so – we gave up on him a little bit soon. I forget who we got for him, but I feel like we should want him.
Yeah, who did we get for him?
I forget.
I feel like I should know this one.
He's just Milwaukee?
Yeah, he went to
Cincinnati? Tex, I don't know.
It
was toss up, but he was my first one, but then maybe Suarez, Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah, that would be good.
He got a new contract bump, so it's not like he would be around anymore, but
yeah, he's a good player. He recently became available. I feel like we should throw out a mention to Ryan Rayburn. I loved him. I was the only one. You could come home, Ryan. I wouldn't hate that.
His problem was not physical, it was mental. He's so streaky.
And he didn't have the ability to catch, field, or throw the ball at any position.
Now, that is not true. That is revisionist. That's falsity. That's fake news. Ryan Rayburn was actually a pretty good outfielder.
Do you remember game 163?
Game 163? That was Donnie Kelly.
No, it wasn't. It was him.
In the dome? Yes. Oh, I'm thinking...
It was him. I loved Ryan Rayburn. He threw that game away for us. Anyway, let's move on.
No, listen. Right, I'm not stopping until you admit Ryan Rayburn was a decent defensive outfielder.
I believe that. I was the biggest Ryan Rayburn defender on Twitter for a number of years.
All right. We're not going to argue Rayburn more this time. All right.
More of this to come. So that is why you want to stick around with us all year. At Tiger underscore Lifer says, Tigers play 29 games through April. What will their record be? And he breaks down the schedule for us, which is nice. Three at home against Pittsburgh, three on the road against Pittsburgh, six at home against KC, three home and road against Baltimore, four in Cleveland, three against the White Sox, three at home against the Yankees, and one at home against the Rays.
12-17.
Yeah, that feels about right. And the majority of those 12 coming in the first 12, when okay. we play Pittsburgh in Kansas City. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I hate to get too down too soon, but, it's not going to be a great year, folks, like that.
500 would be amazing, right?
Yes. Okay, so here, this one comes from at Tigers fan. It's Adam Langworthy. He asks us, what are your opinions on the Go Get 'Em Tigers song? What might be a good replacement? I'm in favor of the Combo Mambo, a.k.a. the Bite Bite Sip Sip song.
It's not bad. I like the Bite Bite Sip Sip.
I love that one. If that was, you know, I would replace just about any song with that. I might replace the National Anthem with that. Is that unpatriotic to say?
You have to come up with some new lyrics. You know,
do you? I mean,
fight, well, fight, zip, zip. I don't know. Maybe.
What about the Star Spangled Banner relates to America in 2018? Home of the Brave, maybe. I don't know. But
I mean, you can see the flag in the night. I don't know
that the Star Spangled Banner itself is played.
A lot of people are not feeling the Star Spangled Banner. They like America the Beautiful or the other one.
God Bless America?
God Bless America, that's one.
Yeah. Yeah,
not a lot of love for the anthem.
Yeah, they all just indoctrinate us with the cult of patriotism anyway. At Kerba1123 asks us, how many guys in the opening day starting lineup are with the team past the trade deadline? How many guys from Toledo Erie are up before September?
How many guys in the starting lineup are with us in so don't get traded?
Yes.
Well, in the starting lineup, I could see the only guy who might get traded would be, I don't know if you can trade Iglesias. If Iglesias plays really well, and maybe him.
Maybe him, maybe Martin. Yeah.
That's about it.
Starting lineup wise, I would be surprised if it weren't.
McCann? I don't think McCann.
I think we're going to have a hard time trading any of our starting players.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think any of the guys we move pitchers. At the bullpen will be pitchers. Yep. And how many guys are up from Toledo? I mean, quite a few. I don't think we're going to see more influx in, you know, people coming up and down, just the standard amount. Like people come, people go. I feel like we talk about
and
this.
We,
good.
Yeah. At this time of year, we always underestimate how many roster moves there are. Like we look at the opening day roster and we're like, oh man, Blaine didn't get in and Warwick Saupold made it and da da da. And we wring our hands and like, there's like 1,000 guys go up and down, especially the last couple bullpen spots.
Yeah, definitely. Just Bradley Moore asks us, how high should I take Jordan Zimmermann in my fantasy baseball draft?
Pretty high. I mean, you should be pretty high if you're going to take him at all.
Yeah, I actually did a standard like 10-team fantasy baseball draft this past week, and Michael Fulmer actually went undrafted. Like, there's enough starting pitchers out there that Michael Fulmer is just
really?
Kind of middle of the road. Actually, I think he might have gone late. I don't know exactly. But yeah, there's a lot of good starting pitchers out there. And most to all of them are better than Jordan Zimmermann.
You can expect fantasy baseball to be featured soon on Beef of the Week.
Our other favorite Troya, Jeremy, this time asks us, since the Tigers are not going to be very good this year, what other teams are you guys interested in? If you had to pick a second team this year, who would you choose? Oh, I'm going to go with the Brewers. You know, you got a couple former Tigers there in Knebel and former Tigers legend Hernan Perez. They're not a million miles away from us. The stadium is cool.
They're National League.
Yeah, I like Christian Yelich a lot. I think there's a lot to like about that team. They interest me, and I like them both, which that doesn't typically happen.
You know who else I think you should cheer for?
Who?
No one. No one. Don't be a cheater. No, the Tigers are the only team that matters, win or lose. If you like anybody else, you're unfaithful and you should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, traitor. It's when you disavow your country?
Defect?
No. No, it's a charge. Anyway, let's move on. At CJ10@22, not a question, more of a comment. He says, at Comeric Eric and at Jordan Hall, I'm really going to need you guys to come through this year with the Podcastianos effort. Our starting pitchers are going to drive me to drink. Please keep the FU in fun like you promised. We will always keep the FU in fun.
Yep. F is for friends who do this stuff together. U is for you and me.
Sure. Nicholas Wisniewski has two questions for us that I thought were both really, really good. The first one, do you think Victor could beat Trammell in a race from first to third?
Oh, I did see this question. Alan Trammell's like almost 60. How old do you think Alan Trammell is? He's got to be about 60,
right about
isn't
there.
He? Late 50s?
To be fair to Tram, he looks good for his age.
Yeah. There's no way a 60-year-old is beating a professional athlete in a foot race, no matter how slow said athlete is. It's got to be Victor.
Give me Tram all day. Definitely.
Come on. No way.
Victor,
he's a professional athlete. He's working out, nutrition.
Is he?
All this stuff.
Is he?
Come on. Yes. Come on. Trammell is old. He's not taking his fitness seriously. It's got to be Victor.
The second one, Tiger most likely to regress and Tiger most likely to get better statistically this season.
Mm.
I think if we're talking likelihood, Mikey probably would be a candidate to regress. He played a little bit above his station last year. I buy it, but I can see how you could argue that he could regress. I think Mickey is the prime it's not taking a step forward. I think it would be more just regression to the mean with him.
Yeah. Just hitters are we talking or pitchers too? Or
all the above. He doesn't specify.
I think a breakout candidate could like you said be Boyd. Boyd has kind of built a foundation of, and he could really break out. Just because he was good last year. I mean, Fulmer, I guess, could take a step back. I don't know. We didn't have a lot of, Castellanos. I'm just trying to think of the guys who were good last year.
Nobody had such a great year last year that it was completely unsustainable. Yeah. At LFly11 asks us, what prospect takes the biggest step forward this year?
Jones.
Yeah, I could see that.
Kobe Jones.
My first choice would have been Matt Manning until the injury. I think Bo Burrows is the choice here. Not necessarily in actual ability, but in terms of raising his profile.
Cameron.
Yeah, there you go. I feel like Bo is so far behind as far as notoriety and profile behind the other three, Fayeto Manning and Franklin Perez. Whereas in actual ability, I'm not sure he's too awfully far behind them. And I think that will become more apparent this year.
Nice.
Looks like two more. The first one comes from at Breslin Birds. He asks us, more hits this year, Jacoby Jones or Victor Reyes?
Oh, Jones for sure.
Jones for sure. And last one is Nicholas Haller. Who will be the biggest surprise of the Tigers this year?
John Hicks.
That's actually not a bad shout. I could see him taking that job, and I could see him being above replacement level.
I think so. I mean, because he's going to get some spot starts at first. It's not going to be a platoon, but he's going to get plenty of opportunities at catcher. He's going to get some ABs, and he can hit.
And quite frankly, I think he's a better hitter than James McCann, flat out.
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay, if you want to get in touch with the show, you can. On Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4, Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And once again, we'd love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. It's very important. Listen, if you've made it an hour and 16 minutes into the show, you find us tolerable, please leave us a review that says that.
Wow. Hour and 16.
Yeah.
We're stallions.
Been a lot of fire tonight. At least some fire.
Sure.
We've said a lot of words, but like we said,
all of them good.
By the time you and I reconvene next week, there will have been actual baseball being played on actual fields. That'll be on Fox Sports Detroit.
That you can see on actual television. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited for that. Let's just go into the season with a positive mindset. Like going to be a rough year. Like there are no doubt there's going to be a lot of losing, but find something each game as you're watching that makes you happy. Like there's more to baseball than wins and losses. We will win games again. It won't be this year, but it will be in the future. Just enjoy watching Daniel Norris get better or Daniel Stumpf's lack of physique out. Like enjoy the game of baseball. That's why we love it.
It's a wholesome thing to watch. What else are you going to watch? So, The Bachelor? You're going to watch, some reality TV show? You're not going to watch the news. Don't watch the news.
That's
not helping anyone. No. The scripted dramas suck, with a few exceptions. Just watch baseball. It'll make your summer better. Make your life better.
Yeah.
I like baseball.
I too like baseball. We hope you guys like baseball too. With that being said, we will catch you guys next week, and eat 'em up, Tigers, eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.